Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with your host Meredith
and Stoss.
And today we have two very special guests. We have Tracy and Ian with us.
What's up, you guys?
And we're so excited. So Tracy is an actor. He's a kingdom activist.
Come on.
He also has an Instagram account called Hey Believer, and you guys have to go follow it. It's actually amazing.
Come on.
Your daily dose of encouraging words, edifying things.
Amazing. Yes. Gotta build people up.
We do. Amen. And that's really what this episode is going to be about, friendship and why it is so important in our lives.
Yeah.
I think all of us have kind of a testimony of how our friends have really impacted us.
Yeah, 100%.
And helped us grow and just,
I feel like we've had those friendships that we know aren't good, and then we get those good friendships and we're like, wow, this is what I needed.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
What I've learned recently about friendship is that it helps awaken you to the life of Christ that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you even more aware of who you already are in Jesus and what you all get to kind of do together because of love and how you get to function. And so that has been a deeper revelation about friendship in my own personal life, because now we all get to live in togetherness because of love, and we get to become more aware of who we are in Him and how to function on earth together.
It's like the five closest people around you are the average of yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait,
a reflection of yourself.
That's
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah, reflection of yourself.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite passages of scripture about friendship specifically is out of John 11, and it's after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then what he did was so cool. He told the people to go and unbind Lazarus. Like, so he didn't do it himself, but he told the people to go to indicate the need for relationship and how relationship can awaken you to freedom and who you are.
Wow.
It's such a cool picture of like the purpose of community and how essential community is, because we live in such a society where everything's very individualistic or independent. You know, like even in the faith community where we undermine and under-communicate the importance of friendship.
Yeah.
We sort of elevate other topics and subject matters. But if you look at the life of Jesus and even a lot of the statements by Jesus, he communicated more about friendship than he really did about marriage or than he did about really anything outside of like the realms of kingdom family. And so you see like in his life and in his speech how necessary it is.
That's such a great example. There's two, I may like edit this because I kind of want to just talk to you guys.
Yeah.
There's two characters in the Bible that were, I think it was, I just listened to a sermon on this, but they were like such great best friends.
Oh, Jonathan and David?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they were.
Wait,
they
can we speak on that? That's so powerful.
It like, is. It's really interesting.
Wait, two, it says that two are... Obviously, it's not good for man to be alone. When God created Adam and Eve, he said it is not good for Adam to be alone, and he created him a helper, Eve.
Totally. Yeah. Which is wonderful, because it doesn't diminish the beauty of marriage. You know, you look at...
It's a blessing to be married. It's a blessing.
Yeah. Absolutely is. Because you look at the bride of Christ, which is a reflection of, in one sense, marriage for the earth, but also the body of Christ, which is a reflection of the community of God on the earth. Both are equal and necessary and inseparable. Their expressions and how they look will just be different.
Mm-hmm.
But one isn't greater than the other.
Right.
So you look at like marriage, it's not greater than friendship. Friendship
they're equally yoked.
They're equal. Their expressions just are different.
Yeah.
And so teaching people how to live in kingdom relationship is really crucial, because it allows for you to understand who you are in the Lord, how to live life together in the Lord, how to bring heaven to earth together.
Yeah.
Because it's made up of a massive family. Like all of scripture is about a dad really trying to bring his kids back into the family from which they came from, if they're willing and they choose. Yeah, yeah, it's exactly the prodigal son story.
Yeah.
So, but Jonathan and David, it's really cool because you see in their relationship where, you know, Jonathan was still somewhat of the son of the king before David became king. And David was also a shepherd. So you see just kind of how there was a knitting by the Spirit, because they both saw Jesus in each other in a way that most people really don't understand or see, because Jesus is king and also the great shepherd.
Yeah.
So they see both of those in one another by the Spirit, and God brings them together in relationship.
That's so crazy.
It's like, oh, I actually get to live in relationship with people when I choose to see people by the Spirit of God versus anything outside of who they actually are.
Wow, that's so, so good. My interpretation of friendship. Hey, okay, we're getting close.
Leading in.
So like what Ian was saying, you are who you're the average five you surround yourself with, you will become. So in high school and college, I was around people that weren't godly, that were partying, that were drinking, that just their morals weren't that well with, you know, men and just different views of who I am now as a godly woman. And so my mom, even she was always praying for me, and she's like, look, like you're around these people and they're navigating you into a worldly direction. Like, you know, I had to come to the terms that like those friendships left and new came in, but I saw the change in me, like, wow, like they really impacted me in a way that wasn't so, well, godly, like, obviously, right. Like, yeah. I was in the world, I was partying, I was drinking, I didn't care about my relationship with God, with myself, and it really does impact you. That's why having good community and godly relationships to uplift you and to make you a better person is so, so important. Yeah. But that's my tip. What about you, Ian?
No, well, yeah, 100%. Especially if even if one of those friends is, like, let's say one of them has depression, or let's say one of them is very negative all the time, you're gonna inherit that. Like, you're gonna take that from that person, and you're gonna end up being more negative because of that person that you surround
that
yourself with.
That energy, like, flows into you,
Like, that's why you want to surround yourself with godly friends, because they want to grow closer to God, you want to grow closer to God, and you can just do it together.
I agree with that.
Another thing I think, though, like, even I've noticed that this is what we started doing, is if we see each other kind of, like, complaining, or we notice we're kind of, like, doing something that is not very Christ, like, we'll call each other out on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important.
Yeah.
That's like, super important.
Put your friends in check.
Yeah, yes, like, 100%. Today she was like, oh, I'm so stupid. I was like, words have power. There is life and death and the power in your tongue. So I stopped and I said, take that back, like, you're not stupid, that was just maybe a little mistake, because when we speak these things out loud, the identity or those words come and try to, like, take a part of you, but it's not you at all. So
facts.
I agree with that. One of my friends said this once, and I thought it was genius. They go, a real friend will stab you in the face, not in the back. And really conveying loving truth to you.
Jeez.
And challenge.
Wait, Tracy, that was so deep. Like, I'm chills.
But it's true, you know, someone that loves you will be honest.
Yeah.
In love.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to live with a wrong way of thinking could and just really debilitate.
Not to bring you down and not to be, like, you know, rude about it.
Totally.
But,
like, there's a scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says that bad company corrupts good character. And it's true. So the opposite can
exactly,
be done.
Yep.
Great people will obviously enable and help develop quality character that's already there and available for you to become. But oftentimes the Lord will help you by using people, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's so true.
Good. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of, like, blessings that God wants for us is through, like, relationships, like, connections, divine friendships, because the only reason I met Stoss was because I randomly one day, this is so God, like, his hand was over this whole situation, I met this guy named Ben at a spa, and through him, I met all these people that showed me relationship with Jesus and not religion, and it changed my entire way of thinking, so, like, God blessed me by putting these people in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just am so in awe of the way he works.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I'm actually very thankful for friendships, being in the modeling acting industry.
Yeah.
It can be very tough because.
Oh yeah. So you're a model.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
Wilhelmina.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on now, Wilhelmina.
Yeah, but it's.
Tell us about the modeling industry and how friendships there are so different than, like, your godly relationships in a sense.
Well, I mean, even just, like, I don't want to say, like, real people, but people who don't understand the industry, it's so hard to talk about my work with them. Mm-hmm. And when I have friends that understand it, it's just like, friends of God, friends who understand it, it's just like, it's so fluent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm, like, say, I meet someone new, and I tell them that I do this, first off, I probably won't tell them I do it because of the reaction that they'll give me. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I'm not gonna talk to you guys about it. But whenever I talk, like, Tracy or Caden or Titus or other actors, they understand it, and they're able to help me grow closer to God in that sense.
Mayor, I have a question for you. How has friendship impacted your life? Like, where was friendship for you before you became aware of what it actually is to you now?
The main thing of my testimony was that I, like, throughout high school and just growing up, I felt very alone. I felt like no one understood me. And there's a fly. I realized that I was craving like friendship, but in a deep, intimate way. I didn't have like a close group of friends that I could confide in and tell like what I was going through. Cause there were things that I was going through. I mean, I had suicidal thoughts in high school. Like I wanted to die in high school and I didn't have anyone that I could tell that to. And so it was really just me isolated in my home doing YouTube, no friends, everyone just watching me online. And to the average eye, you'd think, oh, this girl has like the perfect life. Like she seems so happy, but little do they know I'm like miserable and not thriving at all. And so what happened was, is I found this group of girls that did the same thing I did, the YouTube stuff. And I kind of put myself in this friend group because they kind of invited me in, but I conformed to everything they were doing because I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to feel known. I wanted to have that sense of community. Mm-hmm. And it was because I did it myself and I didn't like wait on the Lord for those friendships. Yeah. I had to learn these hard lessons, but ultimately all of that added to who I am as a person today. And I don't like look at it as a bad thing. I look at all the pain and all the struggle and all the hurt as like God molding me and shaping me into who I am today. But once those friendships like left my life, I went through a season of solitude with God. I really did. I had to have like kind of alone time and I waited and I trusted and I prayed to God and asked him to bring people into my life. And actually, I don't even know if I prayed for that, but God was like, this girl needs friends.
You need people in your life.
Yeah, he
loves
like,
you so
girl.
Much. He's going to bring some great people.
But then I really did see like how important it is to have those people in your life. And
oh my gosh,
I think I also at one point, I remember when I went to Sacramento and everyone wanted me to like come stay at the house and like be a part of what they were doing. I went and I got a room at the Motel 6 because I wanted to isolate myself and be alone. Jeez. And it was this thing that I couldn't figure out why I so badly wanted connection, but then also I was afraid of letting people know the inner parts of me. I didn't want to tell them what I was going through. It was when I was struggling with an eating disorder, and I felt like shame and guilt over that, so I didn't want to be around people. Mm. Oh, wow, I just never thought of that.
That came revelation.
All right, so this is what happened.
Yeah, I think that's a tactic of the enemy is to shame you and guilt you into feeling like you can't open up to anyone because you're going to be judged or whatever. And if you have the right people in your life, they will, I mean, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Right. So like you should not feel any shame or guilt is not from God.
Yeah,
so never feel like embarrassed to, I think we should be like confessing to our friends, like what we're going through.
Yeah,
totally. And they just get to remind you of who you already are.
Yeah, they can speak life into you. Yes. Like, if you're feeling sad, like, I remember on my birthday, I was like, the day before, I was depressed.
When she flew into SAC and I picked her up, I was like, is she okay? Like, she was really sad. And, like, I was, like, trying to uplift the atmosphere. That's why it's so important. When someone is weak, you can make them strong, like, through friendship, through, like, God. Like, especially when you're going through your eating disorder, I feel like, over time, like you, I don't know, like you opened up and it got you more stronger with the right people that came in your life.
Okay. Oh, I have a good question. Do you guys think you're good friends?
That's a great question. Holy cow.
I think I am a great friend.
Come on. No,
I'm very confident in it.
Yeah.
No, she's a amazing friend.
Thank you. You're like, she bought me flowers last night.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Your story.
So cute. Like, are we dating?
Well, today we were talking and she was like, it's like we're friendship dating and we're like preparing for when we do date. Yeah, like it's kind of like we are dating.
Yeah.
We're like living with each other. Yeah. We're like learning how to, if she leaves dishes, like we have to communicate. Like you have to learn how to do that.
I feel like friendship does prepare you to be a good spouse one day.
You know what I'm learning too is like we had like these seasons of friendship, like we're not as close and we're not that open, but now I feel like we even talked before I came here and we were like, we're growing so much in our friendship that like we're more confident with each other, like open up more with each other. We're getting more to the place where like we're really just being like really open.
Honesty is so important.
Because sometimes we can be a little closed off, and then we get mad at each other. Yeah, we're right. alike. It's not even funny, you guys.
But guys... Guys,
yeah, what's it like with guys?
Well, it's, I mean, for me...
It depends on the person.
It depends on the person. The person. Like, I would say a lot of my friends now, we have, like, a lot of my close guy friends, we have such a cool, like, brotherly relationship to where we've learned how to communicate, be consistent, be open, be constant, just because we see the value and, like, the necessity of having a transparent relationship because it just... You allow for someone to see all of you and then to speak into the places where you think that you're not enough or you might believe that you are lacking.
Yeah,
and they're able to actually call forth all that's already in you to make you aware that, hey, you're not actually lacking in this area. You're filled, you're full, and I'm here to remind you of that because I love you. You know, like, and even like building... I mean, because communication is the bridge to two different
Building
worlds.
Each other up, almost. Yeah.
So, like, being able to communicate honestly and lovingly, and even dealing with conflict, like, that's been cool. I mean, I'm not confrontational, but I can handle confrontation.
Wait, we were talking about this. We do not like confrontation.
No, we literally, our fight or flight.
What are you pointing at me for?
It's like our fight or flight is flight. Like, we're like, let's not.
I'm such a fight person. I'm like, fight.
But now we're like in the season, we're like, okay, we need to address this, have it head on. And she's really good with, like, grace and, like, understanding and, like, if
I'm
struggling.
Totally see that.
Yeah, she, like, knows and she, like, doesn't get upset with things with me or, like, if, I don't know, like, she, like, uplifts me if I'm struggling. And
right.
It's just so incredible. I don't know.
I've gotten, so, like, one of my, Caden, for instance, him and I are both very similar in the sense of we're not confrontational per se, but we can handle confrontation. Mm-hmm. And so having to kind of communicate things to one another. We've learned how to approach each other with such love and grace, and also to articulate like what you're actually feeling and thinking and what might have been done, just so the other person has a better understanding. Because I used to be the kind of individual where I was either, if someone bothered me, I was just going to cut them off.
Say it,
I was going to like run away. I used to do that. Like, that was such a... I used to think in that regard. But now I'm like, I've learned, hey, it's actually necessary for me to...
Like, really get to know a person.
Yeah, have healthy conflict and discourse with you. Like, my roommate Carter, also one of my best friends, he's such an incredible communicator. So he does a great job at communicating his point of view, why he might feel that way, and why... it's necessary for us to have this conversation to move forward so that way nothing is hidden or lacking, you know.
Usually I just avoid it.
But that's when you don't grow with your friendships. Like, I noticed that if we avoid things,
then
like,
we don't,
it doesn't grow, and then there's no honesty, and then there's this miscommunication.
Yep,
there's
right.
just
Very
a lot
so,
of
yes.
yeah.
slack. That's why sometimes it's good to have
It is.
It's very
like
good,
approaching
yes.
it with love is the biggest thing. Is I
not to put you down in a sense
exactly.
that it's like
not to
okay,
I
like
to
you're gonna make me cry right now. Like
I used to kind of come in hot with people, like with guns blazing. Like the moment I knew, I can confront something. My approach.
But
was
sometimes the approach is like that because it's just kind of in the moment you're like, but then you're like, okay, sorry, my bad.
Let me just speak the truth of love to you, not in heart.
And then you can just apologize and be like, hey, I didn't mean it that way.
And then
you're like, okay, yeah.
Totally. But
for
you
sure.
would say that you're a good friend, for sure.
Yeah, I think, for sure.
I would say
you guys seem like great friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, very much.
I would say that you guys seem like great friends.
Yeah.
You know?
She's a great friend.
Maybe I should buy you flowers.
No, okay.
You're like, oh. Buy him a friendship bracelet, maybe.
So this is probably a good question for audience members. What makes a good friend? Like, what would you say?
Ooh, like characteristics.
Yeah, what are quality characteristics?
That's a great question.
They have to be, for me, understanding. Mm. They have to be compassionate, honest. They obviously can't be a backstabber. Like, that's a fake friend, like, obviously. Like, I'm gonna go. Because I've had friends like that. Like,
right.
That would talk to me about other, like, girls in our friend group. And it's kind of like, that's...
Yeah.
Ooh, gossip. Big red flag.
God hates. That's another episode. But
God.
Yeah, I just think someone that's, you know, just understanding and loving and that wants the best for you, that you know, those friends that like seem that want the best for you, that low-key are like jealous and that like want to put you down. That's why I'm like, God, give me discernment for all my friends. But yeah, I would say those qualities.
I would say someone who's faithful. And it says in First Corinthians 13:4, it's about love. Like, this is the description of love. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So to me, that makes up a friend. Like,
oh yeah, 100%.
Yep. Loving. Yeah.
It's like, that's just, that's Jesus.
Because it's Jesus. That's his that's his love.
Yeah. And so we get to give that to people.
Yeah.
And we get to reflect it.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Listen, Meredith just hit it right on the head. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go ahead and just take her answer. Like, I mean, we, when you are, when you have intimacy with Jesus, you reflect him, you know, so, and you reflect him in all areas of life, including your friendships. So you can kind of tell when someone is having, when someone has an intimate relationship with Jesus based on how they treat people, especially like their friends and their family.
Yeah.
Because I've met like so many people who are incredible when it comes to biblical knowledge and theology, but yet
their character
are not kind. It's like, so you just know about Jesus.
I don't think you know him.
You know, there's no intimacy there quite yet. But it's great. At least you know stuff. Now, when you have intimacy, you translate that together. Boom.
Boom. You're on fire.
But until then, it's like, bro, you need to go back into the secret place. You need some alone time.
Yeah,
you need to know that you've received love.
God's love.
I would say Meredith's answer is for sure the same for me with friends.
Do you feel like you're a good friend?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a good friend. I believe that I'm a pretty good friend.
I can agree with that.
And I'm growing and learning too. You know?
Yeah, I think we're all. Yeah. Aware,
yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, mister?
I mean, you could probably answer more. Am I a good friend?
I think you're a great friend.
No, I think I'm a good friend.
There we go. We're all great friends.
I just cut this episode and I just do, we're a good friend. We're a good friend.
What makes a good friend to you?
That's a tough question. No, it's actually not that tough. What makes a good friend is being there for the person 100% of the time. Whenever they need anything, whenever they, like, whenever they, even if they want something, fully just present in their life when they need something.
Come on, now.
That's good.
I'm with that.
Well, how do you guys feel when you have a friend that only asks you
for favors?
For stuff, yeah.
Oh, it makes me feel not good.
It's...
I feel like we all need to provide each other value in the sense of relationship, and if you need anything, like, I'm a helping hand.
Right.
So
it's hard because you want to share Jesus, like, you want to share your love, share Jesus' love to them, and be kind, and be open, and be helpful. But at the same time, it's like, you only talk to me when you need something.
Right.
And it's like a double-edged sword, kind of.
But you think about, though, how people treat Jesus, too, at the same time.
Yeah, true.
It's like, well, sometimes people kind of put him on the shelf, and then they pick him up, and they need him, and they put him back when they don't need him anymore, you know? But he's always so willingly available at any given moment. Like, when I was in Bible college, one of my leaders taught me to live life with an open hand. And it so helped me with friendship and relationships because, like, the hand of God is there, but people can come and go as they please. And so even in my life, I will live with my hand open and you can come and go as you please, but I'm still going to remain the same in the Lord, giving you the love that I've received because the only debt I owe is love.
Regardless of how they treat you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of if you treat me properly or mistreat me, that doesn't hinge, nor does it. It doesn't change my perspective of you if I see you through the lens of love. You know, if I see you the way that Jesus sees you, regardless of how you treat me or don't treat me, I only owe you love.
Yeah.
Which means I can respond in love to you because, in essence, we're becoming love as we continue in our relationship with God.
And the more time you spend in the secret place, the more you can pour into others.
Yes.
Yeah. I've noticed how important that is. Like, if you're constantly like Martha and you're always busy and you're never sitting at the feet of Jesus, like, you need to be able to spend that time with him so that you can pour into others.
That's good.
I feel can't like pour from an empty cup.
I feel like LA needs to hear that. Everyone is just go, 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 go,
it's
go.
It's all like busy striving. Yeah. Like, there's no striving.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you better tell everyone right now.
Do you? Okay, let me ask. Do you guys have any close friends that are not Christians? Or that maybe believe
in, or that are like lukewarm.
Yeah, or maybe believe in God and only go to him when they need him type of thing.
I mean, I do. I have like acquaintances from like high school and college that obviously that I used to be friends with that I've strayed away from that need Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And then I have some, I think with my friends now, we're all still growing with the Lord and still trying to, you know, become our better versions of ourselves and grow that intimacy with God. And like, we're on the same path though. Like my friend group now is like, we're trying to grow with the, we're all like seeking the Lord more versus just like, we're not
being content.
Yeah. We're not Christian or we don't want to go to church or like, we don't want to read the Bible or have intimacy with God. So it's like,
I would say my close circle, they're all believers. They're strong believers, but there are people that I'm friends with who aren't believers, and not that I'm like a missionary friend, but I'm in relationship with them to give them Jesus because everyone on the face of the planet needs him.
Do you make that 100%? Do you make that the focal point of the relationship though, or do you just
love them?
That's good.
You know, I just love them. I just show them the love of Jesus, live life with them. I'm not going to compromise with them in any capacity, way, shape, or form, and they know that. Like, they know where I stand on my belief system and how important it is to me. But I'm never shoving that down their throats or
that's really
making
good.
It like an overbearing conversation for them. I'm just available.
Mm-hmm. You're there to love and be the light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting though, because I was talking to my mom and she was saying, since I would be moving down here, like, you have Meredith and just don't get involved into the wrong people to get sucked back into the world.
Yeah.
And she was giving an example of how she had a group of girls that she met and she tried to be the light and be someone to represent Jesus in their life. But over time, like, she noticed that she started to conform into that type of friendships, and she was trying so hard to be like, you know, not shove it down their throat and be like, come to Jesus, but like, be the light and the person, that vessel in their lives. But she knew that fine distinction of like, okay, this group is tearing me down more than I'm bringing them up.
Yeah, that's why I'm a big believer of my close friends and my close circle. They need to be people that have a real love for him, you know, and genuine. Have a real genuine relationship where we challenge and encourage and we call each other higher. And awaken each other. Yeah. And then other friends that don't have that kind of relationship just yet, you still have the responsibility of giving them the love of Jesus so they can understand what it means to live in wholeness and to live full and to live complete because you understand that you've received that in him.
Yeah.
You know? And so I've kind of, it's been a lot easier because of my relationship with Jesus. It's been way easier to give that to people who don't really have that relationship just yet.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because you now know like what the need is and you can just give it accordingly. And just enjoy life as you continue.
Yeah.
What about you, homie? Do you have friends that are on the that you're close with?
Yeah. Or? Actually, one of my best friends from college, I've talked to he'll talk with God whenever he like needs something. And it's like, I've explained the gospel to him. I've talked to him about it. And he'll share like Stephen Furtick and stuff on his page because it's good like motivation or whatever. And it's like, hopefully down the road, he'll understand. But at the same time, I know that those people are in my life for a reason and I'm there to be a light and I can just continue to love them and just be their friend the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Like, they're my best friend for a reason. So it's like, they're in my life for a reason. So, I mean, I'm just going to continue to just love them as much as I can.
Dude, so good.
One thing I've been kind of learning with God is how his timing, like, we can't understand his timing. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I need to, like, be the one that, like helps them get to that place.
Right.
But in God's appointed time, because he has set a time for something to happen. And all you can do is, like, you know, plant the seed and just, it's going to be watered somehow. And you just have to trust that God has, like, his timing is so much better than anything. Like, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I just think that, like, with certain friendships that you have where they're not on the same level spiritually or they're not there yet, like, you can just trust and, like, kind of hand that over to God.
And those prayers that you pray for your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That 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 plant will grow like over time, but it won't reap now because maybe it's not God's timing. But over time those prayers will, you know, come to life.
Oh, prayer is so powerful.
I was gonna say it is.
Like pray for your friends. Like literally. I know.
We have like FaceTime prayer dates.
Yeah, we pray for Billie Eilish. Celebrity.
We're like
rebuking spirits. I'm like any demonic, like,
I pray for Jesus' name. Yeah, my mom was praying for me for so long to get out of that friend group, and now, like, she sees
the fruit of it.
Yeah. Like, she was like, thank God you have great friend. I'm like, I know, because your prayers work. It's That's real, so guys. Funny.
One thing that my friend actually just brought to me, because sometimes I get so overwhelmed with the people that I want to pray for, that he does Monday, Tuesday, every day of the week, he writes in a journal, like the friends that he's gonna pray for each day. So like Monday will be his close friends, Tuesday will be his colleagues, like Wednesday will be like coworkers or whatever. Yeah, I thought it was super interesting.
That's cool. I like that. You better pray for people.
That's a good kind of note to end on. This is our longest episode.
41 minutes. I hope you got 40.
Wow, guys.
This is fire though, so listen through all of it.
Guys, love it.
Listen to it in the car, when you're in the shower.
Stop being
in the shower.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes that was in the podcast. Wait, do you really? Well, like, I'll put, like,
you have a speaker, on. Right? Yeah, I can listen. I listen to it everywhere. I'm in,
I listen to Justin Bieber.
I'll listen to stuff driving, podcast while I'm driving. You know, it's just good.
You want to end it?
Yeah. So you're going to pray us out there?
Yeah. Pray us out.
Okay. It.
Come on now.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this time that we had together in this great conversation, these wonderful people that are with us, Tracy and Ian, and we thank you for this wonderful time that we have together. And I pray, Lord, for everybody listening to be able to grow their relationship with you and grow healthy, godly relationships in their lives. And we pray for blessings and love. Amen.
Amen.